It's a random game towards the beginning of the season. There's 7 minutes left in this game, and the Pistons are down 86 to 78. What lineup are you throwing on the floor to close this game with? We're going to go through a different situations like this to figure out what rotation and what lineup are you going to have on the floor throughout a game stretch or within a game on today's episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's the deal? Welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Per usual, I'm your host, Coop Cahill. You can find me over on Twitter, at Coop Cahill. I want to thank you guys for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you haven't already, head to our YouTube channel, at Locked On Pistons. Hit that subscribe button. It's the best way to support the podcast. And if you haven't already, or if you're another way to support the podcast, I should say, is if you're listening to one of the podcast platforms, leave us a five-star review on whatever platform you are listening to this on. That's another great way to support the podcast. So on today's podcast, we're going to be going through multiple different scenarios, multiple different situations, where the Pistons find themselves with a good record, bad record. What's the lineup looking like if this is the case, etc.? What's the rotation looking like if that was the case? All kinds of different ones. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to be having Bryce Simon on, host of the Pistons Pulse podcast. You guys know Bryce very well. He seems like he's on the podcast every other day. Bryce, I think this is going to be a really fun one that we're going to do today. I think me and you are going to agree on maybe one of these, and that's it.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm still going through things right now, going through scenarios in my head and lineups in my head. I have to apologize. I don't have my Pistons gear on today. Koo caught me right after football practice here, so I'm still in my football get up. I just walked into the house, so I apologize for no Pistons gear, but I'm excited to talk about our squad.
You don't have to worry about wearing no Pistons gear, man. I know I got the hat on and everything, but you know.
Look at your background compared to my background.
Like, hey, you got, man, the cake. Hey, Megan hooked me up. I'm more about rocking, you know, the locked on.
There you go.
That's what I'm more about rocking real quick. Yes, sir. But let's go ahead and get into it, man. So the first scenario that we're going to throw out here, and make sure you guys all let us know what your guys' answers would be in the comment section down below or over on Twitter at Kuka Hill or at Motor City Hoops. All right, Bryce. So this is the first one I'm throwing out at you. I said this one in the cold intro. So 7 minutes left in a random game. The Pistons are down 86-78. What lineup are you running on the floor to close this game? Interested to see how you're looking at this, because I feel like there's two different ways you can look at this.
Okay, so I got two different ways. So first, I'm going to go like a three-point lineup, right? So we feel like we got to score the ball, because if we only have 78 points with 7 minutes to go in the fourth, we obviously haven't scored it that well. And so I think you're just going to pray for a barrage of threes. So I think the lineup I wrote out here was Cade, Burks, Bay, Livers, and KO. And that gives me shooting across the board. I have no pick and roll threat whatsoever, but I should be able to space, put the ball in Cade's hands, and just let him do his thing. Burks can create a little bit. I don't know if I'm missing a floor spacer or not, but that's where I'm going to go with in terms of it. That's my mentality.
Okay, so I mentioned it, that I feel like there's two different ways that you can look at this. So you went the way that I'm going to go. I'm also going to go the way you went. I'm going to have a little bit of a different lineup, but we're going to have the same idea. The other way I feel like you could look at this is maybe we just go defense, try to get stops, force turnovers. And
I have another one too.
Go ahead. Is this a defensive one?
No, it's a let's play super fast and see how disruptive we can be.
Okay. I'm assuming. Actually, you know what? Hold that one, because I think I can guess that lineup. That one.
All right.
So the one I'd close with in this scenario, I'm going to go with offense. You could, I guess you could think about going defense, like I said, trying to get stops, forcing turnovers, and then scoring transition, because apparently you're just not scoring in the half court, I'm assuming, if you only have 78 points with 7 minutes left. However, I'm not going to go that route. I'm going to go with Cade, Alec Burks, Sadiq, Isaiah Livers, and Marvin Bagley.
Okay,
that makes sense. I'm gonna have three floor spacers with Burks, Sadiq, and Livers. Cade, obviously, the main ball handler. And then instead of having a floor spacer in Kelly Olynyk, I'm going to go with a lob threat for Cade in the pick and roll, collapse the defense so Cade can make reads to kick out to open threes or hit lob threat and get some easy dunks and some easy driving lanes for himself going to the rim. That's the lineup I would close with. But I'm interested to see if someone listening, and if you guys do feel this way, let us know. But I'm interested to see if some of you guys listening would rather go a defensive route and think, okay, yeah, maybe this is just a defensive game. We need to just get more stops than the other team does and try to get out and transition more. Maybe we see a lineup of Cade, Killian, what would that, Sadiq, Livers, and Stu? Would that be like the defensive unit that you'd probably throw out there in that case? I don't know. But if that's how one of you guys are thinking, let us know in the comment section down below or over on Twitter at one of our Twitter spaces, or at Kuka Hill or at Motor City Hoops. All right, Bryce, what was the other one that you were thinking of?
Okay, so I'm thinking like just speed up the game, cause havoc, get as athletic as you possibly can with a lineup. And like you're just, maybe it's not solid fundamental defense, but you're creating turnovers, you're speeding up the game, and then you got guys that can get out and run. So I think you wanted to try to guess it. So
yeah, I'm gonna try to guess it. Okay. Is Isaiah Stewart in the lineup?
He's actually not. He was originally. I've changed the five. I'll just give you this. I've changed the five man in this lineup three different times, but I'm pretty happy where I've settled in now.
All right. So I think I can say Cade's in this lineup.
Cade is.
Jay and Ivy.
Ivy.
Diallo.
Diallo.
I knew it. I knew you'd throw Diallo in there. Duren.
Duren is who I ended up settling for at the five. Yep.
And then number four, would you throw?
I went super small, if that helps you. Super small.
Is it Livers?
No, I went Killian. So I went Killian at the one, Ivy at the two, Cade at the three, Hami at the four, Duren at the five. And like, I don't know if we're grabbing a rebound or not, Koo, but we got Hayes guarding. Ivy can just play in passing lanes, Hami in passing lanes. Duren, not the most fundamentally sound, but he'll block a shot, get a steal, go crazy. And so again, we're having some fun with it, but it's like, what do you think you need at that point? That's probably too early to like just go crazy like that, but that would be an interesting lineup. Just throw it out there and just say, cause some havoc, run up and down the floor, throw some lobs, and let's see what happens.
I do think, I knew you were going to put Diallo in there. That was the immediate one I knew as soon as you described it. I was like, yeah, Diallo's getting put in there. And I do think that Diallo, I mean, we've talked about Hamidou a lot on the podcast in this scenario, but I feel like in this type of game, and again, I'm assuming there could be a lot of other things going on that made it 86-78, but just the base thinking here is that you're struggling to score in the half court probably.
Yes, yes.
I feel like Diallo probably is like a good player to throw out there because, like we talk about all the time, he's just a ball of fire. He thrives on chaos. He's going to cause chaos. He's going to score in crazy ways. He's going to randomly find the ball, and it's just going to be around the rim, like all kinds of stuff like that. And when you're struggling to score in the half court, I feel like maybe he could, is a player you throw out there to give your team like a jolt of energy, some random points, some random crazy plays that happen to go on that maybe get your team hyped up and get them energized. I feel like he probably is a good addition. If I'm imagining this, the reason why they're 86, they're down 86-78 is because they're just not able to get anything going in the half court, something like that. I do think Diallo would be an interesting choice there. I could see it paying off.
And we've seen the Pistons press a little bit. This is a lineup you could do that. And in college, Duren was in that spot a lot on the back end and got himself in two-on-one situations because Memphis was so aggressive defensively. So, I mean, I considered Stu. I even considered Marvin Bagley III, but I wanted more of a defensive disruptor. So I know it's kind of crazy. That's not a lineup I anticipate we see any minutes together, but it's kind of fun to think about.
No, definitely, definitely. All right, when we come back, we got another situation that we're going to throw out there. I'm going to tell you guys this. It's kind of similar. There's going to be 7 minutes left, but the score is going to be completely different. And I think we're going to look at it a completely different way. We'll see when we come back. But first, I have to tell you guys about some of our sponsors. First up, let me tell you guys and actually give you guys a little bit of a life lesson here. So you're hanging out with some friends and putting back a few drinks. A few becomes a few too many. As the evening comes to an end and people start to head out, you think of calling for a ride. Now, you live nearby. You can make it home okay. It's no big deal, right? What are the odds you'll get pulled over anyway? And even so, what's the worst that could possibly happen? Your insurance goes up. You lose your license. You lose your job. You total your car. Or, the worst case scenario, you happen to kill somebody. Everyone knows about the risk of driving drunk. The results are tragic and often deadly. However, there still doesn't stop everyone from getting behind the wheel while under the influence. That's why police officers are out there right now looking for impaired drivers on our roads to save lives. So if you think you're okay to drive after a few drinks, think again. Play it safe and plan ahead to get a ride. It only takes one mistake to change your life or someone else's forever. And seriously, guys, it's never worth it. If you're having a few drinks, there's nothing wrong with going out, having some fun with some friends, having a few drinks. But make sure you always are planning ahead for a designated driver. Or there's all kinds of things out there you can do now. You got Uber. You got all kinds of stuff that can get you from your place back to your home place. Never get behind the wheel drunk. And like the NHTSA says, drive sober or get pulled over. So I want to thank you guys again for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you haven't already, go to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons. Hit that subscribe button. It's the best way to support the podcast. Or if you listen to this on one of the podcast platforms, leave us a 5-star review. That's another great way to support the podcast. Man, I'm starting to feel it. I haven't recorded the podcast in like 4 or 5 days. I'm a little rusty. I'm not going to lie. It's off season. I'm trying to get back into it. I took a little 4-day break. You feel me? I feel the rust a little bit. We're going to get back into things. We got it. All right. So here's the other situation that I want to throw at you, Bryce. And we got two more after this I want to get to. All right. So it's going to be 7 minutes left again. However, the Pistons are up 99-92. What lineup are you closing the game with here?
So I'm going to go Cade's part of every one of these lineups, right? So I think we know that. I actually really think it's either going to be Hayes or Burks in closing lineups. So I actually went Killian Hayes here because protecting a 7-point lead, I think you can go a little more defense with Killian. I went Isaiah Livers. We've talked a lot about him. You know how high I am on him. Like, I just think he's a great connector piece. Sadiq and then Isaiah Stewart is where I went there. I think you have three really good defenders, Cade, and then Sadiq Bey. I think you have him in this game. If it gets close late, he hit a bunch of what we saw the stat here a couple of weeks ago, fourth quarter buckets from Sadiq Bey. And so I think he's shown to be able to make some clutch buckets at times. So that's the five I think I would go with.
So you're right. I think the constant through all these situations that we end up throwing out here will be Cade Cunningham. He's going to be in every single one. I can't imagine a possible scenario where Cade's not in the lineup. And if that is a scenario that we're looking at, something terribly went wrong. So I don't think we're going to see Cade not in any of our lineups. So the lineup I'm going to go with here is going to be a little bit more interesting, Bryce. We're going to go. And am I having a little bit of fun here? Yes, I am having a little bit of fun here. Though I do think that this is a lineup that we actually will see. Maybe the front court a little different. Then I think Casey will probably go a little bit different in the front court. But I'm not going to. I think I'm going to go with my own. I think you know where I'm going with it. I think I'm going to go with the three guards here. I'm going to go with Cade, Killian, and Jay and Ivy. I'm going to close with those three guys. I think we're going to see that three-guard lineup a lot. I wouldn't be surprised if we see it a lot closing games. And then next to them, I want to see what your reaction is to this one right here. I'm going to go Isaiah Livers instead of Sadiq. And then I'm going to start. Or not start. And I'm going to close with Marvin Bagley at the five.
Okay. You put Marvin Bagley in your lineup a little more than I would have guessed. Okay.
So this is the thing, though. This is the thing. You paid Marvin Bagley all this money. You got to get use out of him for me, for one. And two, I feel like if it's 99-92, you're scoring at an incredible rate. They're not stopping you very much. And I feel like with that lineup right there, it's going to be hard to continue to stop you on the offensive end, even if you give up a bucket every now and then. And I think that Killian and Isaiah Livers will help defensively. Cade will help defensively switching. We have to see how Ivy looks. I'm going to assume he struggles because he's a rookie. Usually rookies are not very good defensively. And we already know Marvin Bagley is not very good defensively at all. But the presence, and I'm not going to lie to you. I kind of wanted to go Jalen Duren at this point, but I'm trying to be realistic. I know listeners, I know fans hate it when I talk about this, but listen, I'm just giving you what I believe is the truth. I don't know if Duren's going to be in the rotation to start off the year. I think they're going to take it slow with them. The front court is loaded. Unless there is a trade made, I really do think it's probably likely that he's not going to be in the rotation to start off. So at this point, I'm going to assume he's out the rotation. If he's in the rotation, I'm picking him. I think he'll provide rim protection at the very least and the lob threat. But at this point, I'm going to assume he's out the rotation. So I'm going to go with Marvin Bagley because I think Cade so desperately needs that lob threat. And I will swallow some of the defensive mistakes from Marvin Bagley. If we're already at 99-92, I think we can handle some defensive mistakes because our offense must be generating off points per possession through the roof. So I'm going to go with Cade, Killian, Ivy, however you guys want, 1, 2, 3 them. I don't care. Livers and Steph Sadiq. I actually think that might be the one that riles people up the most. And then Marvin Bagley. What's your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I actually agree with you on Jalen Duren. If you guys haven't had a chance, go listen to the Pistons Pulse after you listen to this. We dropped it on Tuesday with Omari Sankofa II, and we did our player expectations, and we actually gave projected stat lines coup. And both Omari and I were in agreement that we expect Jalen Duren to average just 5 or 6 points per game this season as a rookie because we just don't think he's going to get the minutes. Now, there may be a game where he scores 15 or 18, but then there's going to be a lot of games where he doesn't play very minutes. And so I look at this score, and you're right. If you feel like you're scoring at that clip, probably the only way the other team catches you is by banging threes, right? And so the fact you don't have a rim protector in the lineup you gave, you might end up okay because it's all right if you give up a couple layups without that rim protection. You're going to get those points on the other end, and you can really focus more on just protecting the three-point line, not letting them catch up that way. Just go 2 points for 2 points and let the clock run out.
So, and I just want to mention this real quick. I know some listeners and some people listening are going to say, why do you have Killian Hayes in your closing lineup? Listen, this is not me just being a fan of Killian Hayes. I think last year it was quite clear that Dwayne Casey liked closing with Killian. I think they're going to continue to close with him this season. I think they haven't talked about him a lot in the offseason, but when they did talk about him in the offseason, they talked about how they believe they can close with him, Ivy and Cade. So I don't think that they're going to go away from that. And I think they really like the fact that you can put Killian basically on the best on-ball player on the other side, and he's just going to give them absolute hell and be able to switch across. And then the hope is that he's providing spacing too in catching shooting threes. And if he's doing that, there's no way you're not closing with him. If Killian's hitting threes and able to hit threes at a decent catch-and-shoot volume, I'm going to assume he's probably closing almost every game because that's the only thing I feel like is going to keep him out, the closing lineups. Would you agree with something like that?
Yeah, and the other thing with Killian is he's unselfish. He's a good passer. So he's going to move the ball. He's not going to take shots he shouldn't take. And so there's nothing wrong with, like, we're all going to be up in arms if the ball's not in Cade Cunningham's in these situations the entire time, right? Like, we freak out if the Pistons are in a late game situation and the ball doesn't touch Cade's hands, rightfully so. And so you don't need a guy in those situations. Killian doesn't need to be dominating the ball. He doesn't necessarily need to be creating. He just needs to be able to knock down a wide open shot if Cade Cunningham creates and his man helps off. So he can do the defensive stuff. He can help on the boards. He can be a good passer. And then, like you said, it always comes back to with Killian, can he knock down, catch, and shoot threes?
So another part of that lamp that I want to talk about, what's your thoughts on me having Isaiah Livers in over Sadiq Bey? Let me give a quick explanation for why I did this. I feel like Isaiah Livers give you more of a two-way threat. At this point, I'm going to throw this take out there. I don't know if this is a hot take. I don't think it should be. But I think Isaiah Livers is probably a better shooter than Sadiq. I'm going to go with Isaiah Livers. It might be close, but I think Isaiah Livers is a better shooter. And I also think Isaiah Livers provides a two-way impact on the other end that Sadiq's not able to bring. And the other scenario, when I think you might maybe need some more self-creation along with spacing, like in the first scenario we gave, Sadiq always, I feel like. But in this scenario, if you're just looking to space the floor for Cade and Ivy, get out in transition, run, keep the tempo going, continue to score a lot of points, while also keeping some kind of competence on the defensive end, I feel like Livers is the route to go there. Would you disagree with this line? Actually, I think you had Sadiq in here, so you do disagree. But what do you feel about that?
Yeah, so my thing with Sadiq is I'm really interested to watch his defense very close this season because we give a lot of guys a hard time, right? Marvin Bagley, and everybody's concerned about Jaden Ivey, and I know he's just coming in and it's based off his college tape. I think we've been giving Sadiq Bey a little bit of a pass defensively, to be quite honest. I don't think he's been great on ball on the perimeter, and that's why I've talked about him being better at the four, because I think he can use his strength. So I'm really interested. Maybe I've been biased. Maybe I've been overly critical. So I'm really excited to watch him when the game starts to see how he looks defensively. Here's my other thing, Koo. This got brought up to me on Twitter today. Are we hyping Isaiah Livers too much? Do you think we're all off base thinking that Isaiah Livers is definitely going to be a rotation guy? Because I've been all in on him all off season. You're talking about him on this episode. We've talked about him a lot. but he's only played like 19 games in the NBA. Is there been enough sample size for us to believe? Are we justified in believing as strong as we are in what he's going to bring to the rotation?
So I'm going to say this about Isaiah Livers. There's been a few examples of this throughout the years, like especially recently. I'm sure this probably goes farther back, just I can't remember. But over the past few years, like I'd say like the past 5 to 7 years, I feel like there's always been, like there's always a handful of guys each year for a random team that doesn't get a lot of minutes. They didn't play a lot, but you just see in their time playing, you're just like, yep, that's the guy. He's gonna end up, as soon as he gets more minutes, he's gonna just explode. We can see it. I completely believe that that's Isaiah Livers. Like I could be wrong. Like you said, it is a small sample size, so maybe it reversed back. But from what I saw in those limited minutes and those limited games they ended up being able to play, then what I saw in Summer League, even though I try not to put too much in the Summer League, but he's basically the same person both places. I am in complete belief that if you were to give Isaiah Livers, I mean, I think I said this to you last time you were on the podcast, like last week or 2 weeks ago. I'm complete belief that if you gave Isaiah Livers 30 minutes a game and just had him shoot like 8 threes a game, he could average like 15 points a game just on hitting like 40% of his threes. And while giving you really good defense, I think he's that kind of dude that if you gave him 30 minutes a game this year, he would immediately like pop off and people and contenders would be wanting him. All kinds of teams would be wanting. That's how I feel about Livers already.
Well, I think the thing is he's a role player who his skill set and what he does best fits perfectly into that role, right? Like, I think that's why it seems like it fits so well. Neither of us are thinking he's ever going to be a third option or a fourth option on a team or a 20-point-a-game guy or anything like that. I don't think we see any self-creation. You're not putting the ball in his hands, telling him to go make a play. But he has a large, going back to college, sample size of shooting the ball at a very high level. So he does that. You can see the basketball awareness, the unselfishness. He's a connector. The buzzword connector makes one more passes, those things. And then we've seen the defensive communication and versatility and all of that. And it's just hard to believe that that stuff doesn't translate or that that stuff just all of a sudden goes away. Yes, if he's only making 30% of his threes, then we were wrong. I just don't see the history in his game where that's really reasonable to think.
Yeah, I completely agree. So there's actually something that I want to bring up about that lineup when we come back, just real quickly, because we do have two other scenarios that I want to talk about. So I'm going to ask that question real quickly to Bryce when we come back. It's going to be about Jaden Ivey in these possible scenarios. We'll get to that when we come back. But first, I have to tell you guys about some of our sponsors. First up, BetOnline.net. BetOnline.net is the fastest and easiest way to check on all your sports betting needs. Find all your favorite sports and events at the number one online source for odds, lines, and games. Find reviews and news of every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports wagering information, from live in-game betting, scores, podcasts. They have you absolutely covered. Head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to learn more about their trends and action today. And if you head to BetOnline.net today, we're just a few hours removed as of this recording of KD announcing, or basically the Brooklyn Nets announcing, that KD won't be going nowhere. So now they've jumped up to fourth in odds to win the championship next year, according to BetOnline.net. However, the Boston Celtics remain the favorite. So me thinking that it was Boston was number one simply because they were in the rumors for KD, apparently that's wrong. I don't agree with Boston being number one. I'd have Milwaukee, then Golden State, and then probably Brooklyn somewhere in between there. I don't know if Boston's making it back to the finals, but that's the kind of thing you can look at and have fun with over at BetOnline.net today, or use your mobile device to learn more about their trends and action today. BetOnline, where the game starts. So I want to thank you guys for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons. Hit that subscribe button. It's the best way to support the podcast. Or if you listen to us on one of the podcast platforms, leave us a 5-star review. That's another great way to support the podcast. All right, Bryce, before we get into the next scenario, I just want to ask you about Jaden Ivey. You picked Jaden Ivey for the crazy one that you had, right?
Yeah, so it wasn't the original where it was probably more realistic in what I'd actually do, but for like the crazy, let's just cause havoc and see what happens, I put him in that one. So that I would not have had him in a lineup yet.
Okay, so Bryce wouldn't have had him in a lineup yet. I didn't have him in the first one. I had him in this last one in the 3-guard lineup. I just want to ask you this real quick, Bryce, before we get on to these next two, which I think are going to be really fun. What do you think about Ivy closing games as of right now? Do you think we're going to be seeing that a lot? I'm as of right now with me, I think it's going to be our sore spot for Pistons fans. I think they're going to be mad a lot because I don't know if he's going to be closing every game. I don't know if he'll be closing right off the bat based on how Dwayne Casey has treated. Now, I don't want to say treat because it makes it sound like it's bad treatment or something. The way he goes about handling rookies, let's say that. The way he goes about handling things, I don't know if he's going to trust Ivy immediately, especially when he's been given Alec Burks. So I think Burks is going to close a lot of games with, if my prediction is, just an overall closing lineups, no special score or anything like this that we're doing right now. Just overall closing lineup, I think they're going to go Cade, Killian, Burks at those three. Maybe Cade, Killian, Bay, Livers, and then whatever center. I don't know if we're going to see Ivy closing a ton immediately. Do you think we're going to, or do you agree along with that?
No, I agree with you. I think it's all going to be predicated on the game and how Ivy has played up to that point. And I don't know. We don't know the Pistons' motivation either. I think they're going to try to win as many games as they can early on. I think that's where they're at this year. I don't know if that's going to equate to a lot. But it kind of depends. Are you still just solely focused on development? What if they're playing really, really well, Koo? What if they start off the year just playing incredible and they're winning a bunch of games and all of a sudden they've taken this leap that a lot of us don't really see and they're playing for a play-in or something like that? Then if he's not the guy, if they're trying to win every game, it may be with a little more veteran of a backcourt. So I do think it'll be frustrating fans. I could see early in the season it not being him unless he's just played really well that night. And then later in the year, you let him finish regardless, just as a learning experience and some development.
Yeah, I completely agree that's going to be about how he played within that game. I feel like we've seen that a lot with Casey, that if you're playing well in that game, he'll ride you a little bit longer. If you're struggling, he'll bring in a veteran to close the game for you. So I think it would depend a lot on that. I'm just going to guess that off the bat, I don't know if Casey will trust him over an Alec Burks to close lineups. I think it's going to be incredibly interesting to see. But anyways, let's get into another situation I have brought up here. I think this is going to be another fun one. And I think a lot of fans are going to like this one the most because it's actually a positive one, I guess. It may start positive with the question, but then as you get into the reasoning why, it may turn into a negative. Okay. The Pistons somehow, some way, have started the season 7-3. What is their starting lineup and what is their rotation? Bryce, go ahead.
Cade, Burks, Kevin Durant. No, I'm just kidding. Cade, Burks, Bay, KO, and Stu. That's the starting lineup.
Okay.
If they've won seven, like, I hate to say that, Koo, but I don't know that I believe Jaden Ivey's in the lineup if they've won 7 out of 10 against the schedule we've talked about. What a couple games against the Bucks, a game against the Warriors. The first four aren't too bad, and then the next six are just ridiculous. So I think it's got to be more veteran-laden. I think KO has to come back and be the player that we thought he was going to be going back a year, coming into his first season with the Pistons. I'm honestly not joking now. I think Corey Joseph probably is getting minutes off the bench. Killian, Livers, like neither rookie's probably playing a lot of minutes if you're 7-3 after 10 games. Like at the end of the day, if we're being realistic.
Okay, so let's stay with the starting lineup. I'll give mine. I think it would be Cade, Burks, Sadiq, Livers. And I think the five is really interesting here. I'm going to have to go with Stu. I want to go with Bagley really badly. I didn't mean to rhyme that. But it just happened. But I really want to go with Bagley. But the thing, like, his defense is so concerning for me that I do think he should be playing a ton of minutes and trying to make that contract worth it and see if he can eventually get to a player that, like we've mentioned before in the podcast before, if he can actually play in meaningful games. If he can get to that point where his defense is not just absolutely pitiful, to where he can be okay. So I think he needs to get those kind of reps and that chance this year. So I wanted to go with Bagley at the five, but I started to think that if they're 7-3, I just don't think their defense is probably that bad. And despite not having a lob threat, I think there's still adequate spacing in that starting lineup. I think Stu I think you need Stu for defensive purposes if they're starting 7-3. I guess I could see a scenario where Marvin Bagley starting and they're 7-3 because their offense is just lights out. But I don't know. The thing I keep going back to is that I feel like Burks, I don't know. I need to talk to some more Knicks people, but I feel like Burks is probably a little bit streaky. I know Sadiq is streaky. So I feel like just going all offense in a starting lineup and somehow ending up 7-3 probably would mean that you're having an incredible hot streak from like two of your main shooters and also not playing a lot of defense because you're having Bagley out there. I don't know. I'm going to go with Stu. That was a long explanation, but I'm going to end with Stu. I think he gives you defense in that lineup with enough spacing around to where it makes up for his lack of interior presence on the offensive end.
So that's what both of us, though, went without a lob threat in the starting lineup. So now I'm kind of starting to backtrack on what I said because I think I have good floor spacing. I'm okay defensively, but I don't have a lob threat, and I don't like that as I look at that now. And I find that I have a hard time believing they're 7-3 without that. So, you know, Bagley's kind of the one that fits in there until Durin's ready.
Let me ask you something real quick before we move on to our rotation. Just a real quick answer. I don't want to not be able to answer this last one that we have.
Yeah.
Sure. What do you think that the front office and the coaching staff saw what happened with the team and Cade after the All-Star break once they got a lob threat? And do you think they're thinking right now, like, no matter what lineup we're throwing out there, there's going to be a lob threat on the floor no matter what? Like, we can't have a lineup without Cade and a lob threat. Do you think it's gotten to that point with what they saw after the All-Star break? Or do you think they're thinking, well, he probably wants one, but we can probably sustain without one as long as we, like, get the minutes together at some point? Or do you think they're thinking right now, Cade's in the starting lineup, we got to have a lob threat with him in there somehow, some way?
Yeah, I don't think it's like a 48 minutes a night must, but I think they're going to play a lot of minutes with a lob threat on the floor. Nerlens Noel isn't like the athlete that either one of those guys are, but like he could catch a lob if he needed to. Jalen Duren is going to play minutes. You know I've said I think he's going to spend some time in the G League, but he's going to play minutes. So between him and Bagley, you can almost always have one on the floor. And I do think that's why Marvin Bagley got paid, is because they saw how, you know, what he provided, and Durin's not going to be completely ready just yet to play that many minutes.
Fair enough. I think they're at the point, and that's why I'm really like, I'm keep going back and forth on the five, because I do think they saw what happened after the All-Star break with the lob threat. And I have to assume that they're looking at saying, listen, Cade needs one on the floor. Like, he's not trash without one, but he's just so much, him and the offense just look so much better with one on the floor. We would be stupid not to have him on one.
Yep.
Have him on the floor with one. So,
the difference here is if Stu can shoot, I realize he's not a lob threat, but then you can actually run pick and pop. And there is something that provides for Cade as well. Because now that drop coverage guy can't just drop and stand in the middle of the lane and not have to worry about getting back to Stu. So that would provide something for Cade if Stu is a legitimate threat. Now, that's not going to happen in the first 10 games. Like, he's going to have to prove it for a while before people start really guarding him that way. But it would open up some lanes in a different way for Cade to attack if he is a true pick-and-pop guy.
All right, so I'm going to stay with Stu at the five. I'm going to stay. What's the rotation? What's the five coming off the bench? I know this is what you're going to piss off the entire Pistons fan base with this one, but go ahead. What's the five off the bench?
Kojo, Hayes, Magruder, Livers, and Bagley, something like that.
Oh, my God. Okay, so hold on. All right, so I fully expected you to go with Kojo.
I ran out of guard spots. I couldn't even fit Ivy in there.
Okay, so see, this is what I'm saying right here. I expected you to go with Kojo, but just simply not playing Ivy at all. You think if they're 7-3, that means Ivy's just simply not playing?
Who do you want me not to play?
Magruder.
But then you're going to play Kojo, Hayes, and Ivy all together?
I mean, no, that's not the lineup I'd go for. But if it's your lineup and who I take out of that one.
In all seriousness, I would say Hayes and Ivy. And then Livers and Bagley. Maybe you don't even have a 10-man rotation.
That's interesting.
Maybe he goes a 9-man rotation.
That's interesting. I'm going with a full five, but you got me thinking now because
I'm completely fine leaving Nerlens Noel. I did the film breakdown and I didn't love it, so I'm fine leaving him out of this rotation, even if it means they're 7-3. And I know I said the vet thing, like I'm still cool with it.
See, bro, I hate Bryce because Bryce got me thinking now because I was going to go with a full five off the bench, but I don't think that Casey would go with nine. But if they're
if they're trying to win games, I don't think you're playing a 10-man rotation every night. When that happens, and it's not going to be this year, but I mean, you're playing 8-9 guys on some nights against the best teams.
I know, man. But just everything we've seen from Casey this far, I feel like he at some point in the second quarter, you always have like a 5-man bench lineup. I feel like, so I just don't know if would he change that for? I'm trying to think back now to the 18-19 season when they were
I'm curious if you remember that or if others could give us some insight because that's before I came around, so I wasn't watching games. And did they play 10 every single night during that season?
See, I want to say that they always staggered Blake and Dre, but I actually don't think they did because they played Zaza Pachulia a lot. So I think they always had at least like 3 to 4 minutes with a full 5-man lineup before they brought in Blake and Dre again. So I think they actually did go with full five off the bench. I don't want to say I'm 100% with that, but if I'm remembering correctly, I think they have.
Because you got plenty of guys that can do it, Koo. Like Bay can play the 3 or the 4. Livers can play the 3 or the 4. Stew the 4 or the 5. KO the 4 or the 5. On down the roster. So you don't have to have 10 guys to make it work.
So this is why I'd go with. I think it would be off the bench. Cade, Ivy, Livers, KO and Duren. No, KO and Bagley.
Bagley.
Because I didn't start Bagley. So KO and Bagley, I think Duren's just not playing. Because I'm going to assume that out the gate as a rookie, he's not going to be good defensively because not a lot of rookies are. Evan Mobley's like the rare example where he just comes in defensively as a monster. If they're 7-3, I have to assume that means they're doing good on both sides of the ball. I think that lineup is like the best one coming off the bench. I think that's the starting lineup and rotation I'm going with right there.
So I think I've said this before, and I know we both actually think Ivy's going to start, but you know, but the best second unit rotation for Killian is actually Burks, Livers, KO, and Marvin Bagley III. I think that's the best, or Duren, I guess, but that's the best for Killian because there's a lot of floor spacing with that lineup. A little bit of secondary ball handling with Burks and I guess KO maybe, and then you give him the lob threat. That's the second unit that Killian fans should want to see because I think that's the one where he's most successful.
I think that lineup actually would do really good too, just overall.
Yeah.
Like, I think that would be good for just overall Pistons fans. I just don't know how realistic it is to see it actually be played. I don't know if it will. Maybe it does. I just don't. It's so fun talking about this, and we're going to talk about why it's so much fun. Like with this last situation we're about to bring. But like, it's so many questions. I feel like we just don't know anything besides Cade and Sadiq starting.
Yeah.
Like
100%.
Like you don't know rotations. You don't know who will be in the rotation, out the rotation, starting, not starting, like forget the starting lineup, who's getting minutes in period. Like it's going to be really fun and interesting to watch training or hear about training camp and then watch preseason, see how this gets figured out. But final situation, you guys are going to love this one or very much hate us for this one. That's why I saved it for the end. It's going to be very polarizing. It's December 3rd, Bryce. The Detroit Pistons fan base is in absolute shambles, and they want Dwayne Casey fired. What is the lineup and rotation going on?
Okay, so I try to keep it somewhat realistic. So Cade is still starting, because if Cade's not starting, it's not even realistic. So Cade Cunningham, Corey Joseph, Sadiq Bey, Kelly Olynyk, and Nerlens Noel. If he's ruling out that starting lineup, I think the fan base is furious. And here's the thing. It's not that unrealistic.
I think the lineup, it's not going to be a little too much different. It's going to be a little different. I'm going to go with Cade, Alec Burks, Sadiq, KO, and Nerlens Noel. I think that would be the five.
You refuse to mention Corey Joseph's name whatsoever.
Bryce, I've told you, I don't believe he's getting minutes. I just don't think he actually is. I think the new Corey Joseph is Alec Burks. I think Alec Burks is now going to be overplayed too much and trusted way too much. I think Corey Joseph has completely accepted the I'm just bet these guys and I don't need minutes kind of thing.
Yeah.
If we didn't have Alec Burks, I think Corey Joseph would still be, you know, the Casey lover, but I don't think he is this year.
I hope that's the case because Corey had the chance to leave, right? And he maybe it wouldn't have been – maybe he would have to take less money. I don't know. I can't imagine he couldn't have got like a two-year, $6 million or seven. I don't know. But he took his player option, and hopefully the conversation was, Corey, this is what we need from you moving forward. And that was just a veteran presence in the locker room, the Rodney Magruder type thing.
All right, so what's the bench lineup?
Oh, I didn't even go there.
Okay, I'll start off then. I'll go Killian, Jane Ivey, Magruder, Stu, and Bagley.
Okay, so I'm gonna say Ivey, Burks, Magruder.
Oh yeah, because you didn't start Burks. You what's it called? You started Kojo.
Kevin Knox.
Oh God.
I don't know. Marvin Bagley the third, I guess. Braxton Key at the five.
Braxton Key.
I was gonna say Luka Garza, but he actually got signed today by the Timberwolves. Yep. So, and I say that because that leaves Killian out of the rotation, which I think, I mean, we know like. One way or the other, Killian Hayes is polarizing with this fan base right now. So you don't have you play him too much, you don't play him at all, and it's gonna have Pistons community talking.
Yeah, I think the starting lineup is where it's really gonna piss everybody off. If it was to be Cade, Alec Burks or Kojo, Sadiq, Kelly O, and then Nerlens Noel, I think fan base would just be up in flames. It would be just like riots outside of LCA.
I guess I left Stu out completely. So Stu's at least got to be in that second unit. So that's perfect. Now you're leaving Marvin Bagley the third out, coup, and people are pissed because they signed him to a three-year, $37 million contract, and then he's not playing. So that actually works out perfect. So Hayes is out of the lineup. Bagley's out of the lineup. Fan base is furious. You're playing Kojo and Burks and KO and Noel, and nobody's happy. Even if they're winning, nobody would be happy.
Oh no, yeah, even if they're winning, it wouldn't be a good place to go to an LCA game. I'll say that. All right. Well, that's all we've got for you guys today. Bryce, did you have fun with this one? I think this was a lot of fun.
Yes, I had a lot of fun. And by the way, I booked my flight. I'm coming out in November for a game. I'm gonna catch Koo and Megan. Wait, when's your honeymoon or your wedding?
October 1st.
Okay, it'll be after
I'll
that.
I'll be back. Okay, yeah, no, I'll be back.
Okay, that just hit me like, man, is it October or November? So, yep, I'm coming out. I'm going to make two trips this year. This one I'm coming solo, so I'm excited to catch everybody, hang out, and see a game at LCA.
We might, depending on how long Bryce stays, I might have to get Bryce in the gym, man, and see what's
possible. We can get some jumpers up Saturday morning before the game. I'm in. I'm game.
Yep. Fair enough. We'll see what happens. But, all right, guys. Let us know what you guys think about this episode, all this different situations that we threw out at you guys. What would your guys' lineup be? And rotation B. Let us both know on Twitter at Kuka Hill or at Motor City Hoops or in the comment section down below on the YouTube channel. Thank you guys for listening today. Thank you for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, go subscribe to the YouTube channel or leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. And until the next episode, I will see you guys later and peace out, everybody.